The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for exposing the masters within. Let's get started.
Today is December 25th, 2011, for those listening live, and obviously it's some other time if you're listening to the recording. Merry Christmas out there to those of you who celebrate that in any way, and to everyone else, welcome. Welcome, welcome. I am very happy to be here today, and well, let's make the connections first, and then we'll get into the meat. So, as we begin, allow yourself to open within, connecting to your own divinity, connecting to your own inner master, your soul, your light, your power, whatever way you might want to think about it. Just breathe in and open yourself to let yourself out. This is the core of exposing your master within, and it's a wonderful way to start. So just allow yourself to expand into the space of your infinite nature. And breathe that up and let it fill you cell by cell, layer by layer, filling all of you that is physical, flesh and bone, and filling all of you that is the mental and the emotional, and filling your entire energy field as full of your own divinity as you can. All right, and let's open up to our primary core connection with this dimension, which is our Mother Earth, our anchor. And so in this, allow yourself to open as well and to expand that connection, to expand the flow. And it is a two-way flow. We definitely receive from our Mother Earth, but we also give to her. And we are part of her. We're part of this energy field of the whole planet. And as such, we can take great strength in that and really claim strength, power, and clarity. It really does help to know what the next thing to do is when we are more connected and more open to being grounded with and into our mother. So just breathe her up. Let her energy fill you. Let her love fill you. Wonderful. And let's expand out again and open this time to the connections that we have. As with the Mother Earth, they're there all the time. And these are the connections to our angels and guides, the teachers that we have in the spiritual dimension. And just allow yourself to open to feel their love, to feel their support, to feel that focusing that they can offer us when we open to their energy. That focusing, again, into clarity, into knowing who we are more fully and into expressing that and into knowing how to express it, what the next step is, moment by moment. So let yourself feel that love and the expansion that it brings to connect with these beings. And let's take a step out to connect with all the others in this community, the community of listeners, both those that are listening live right now and those that will listen at any time in the future into this recording. And again, opening to feel that support. We're all in this together. We're all creating everything that's coming out of my mouth together. We are all creating a momentum into our power, into our expression, into our mastery. And so let yourself feel that. Let yourself feel that energy flowing around you, flowing through you, that again supports this pathway that we're on of expansion, of self-discovery, and of becoming more empowered in who we are. And breathe that in. And the last layer that we connect with here each show, allow yourself to breathe into the energy of all the light workers, of all those out there. They may not even speak the same language that we're speaking here, but all those on the planet who are on this path of self-mastery, of bringing a greater degree of their divinity into expression, of bringing a greater degree of divine expression into all the interactions that we have on this planet. Because that's another momentum, that's another energy that it's wonderful and empowering for us to connect into and bring into our lives and use. And use. We can use that energy. We can channel it and allow it to feed us as we're taking these steps, which are not always easy steps on this path of self-discovery and awakening. And so breathe that energy in and feel that energy surrounding you and flowing through you and lifting you. Lifting you into higher vibrations of yourself. And into higher vibrations in all of your relationships, in all of your connections, in all of your interactions. All right. Well, thank you for aiding me in setting those energies in place and opening them up as fully as possible as we begin. And so let's talk today a little bit to start with about the energy of Christmas. And whether you're someone who celebrates Christmas or who used to celebrate Christmas or not, what I'd like to do is perhaps place it in a little bit of context that goes beyond the Judeo-Christian traditions. Because, believe it or not, this day has been celebrated as a holy day in multiple other cultures, in multiple other religious traditions. And one of those was a celebration in Rome that happened in the Roman religions. And another one was in the religious or spiritual tradition, Mithras. And they both, in those traditions, were celebrations connected very intricately, connected very deeply with the energy of the solstice that we just had, that we just passed, the 21st and 22nd, depending upon where someone might be on the planet. And that energy, that marker of the solstice, is the point at which the days start getting longer. In other words, they're the point at which, in the northern hemisphere at least, we begin the journey back into more and more light. So it only makes sense that when the Christian church, before any of the Reformation and all of that, before there was the division into multiple ways of approaching connecting with Jesus and that energy, it's not an accident that this day, this time, was chosen to be the day of celebrating the birth of Jesus. Because, again, in that tradition, in that religion, in that way of focusing on the energy, that's the day the light of the world showed up. That's the day of bringing more light to the planet. And it's ironic, perhaps, how few people understand that. I mean, growing up Catholic the way that I did, it was simply a given that this was actually the day that he was born on, you know, that someone was there. And if we could go back into the Roman census and find Jesus' birth certificate, it would say December 25th or the equivalent back then. And that's simply not true. It's not true at all. I have a friend that I'm not sure which exact Christian denominations he grew up in, but it was one of the Protestant denominations of Christianity. And it was one where they did a lot deeper Bible study than we did in the Catholic Church. And there are clues throughout. And I am not a Bible scholar, so I can't give you all of those clues. But essentially, if you look at the clues, and it talks about what was going on during the time of his birth, and it was about the seasons and when the shepherds would be out in the hills and things like that. It also had to do with when certain, again, in the Jewish faith before the temple was destroyed, each one of the tribes had different things that they did. And there are clues in there based upon the tribes and what they were doing. And again, I'm not a Bible scholar, and I did not retain the details of this conversation 15, 20 years later, but it's very clear if you look at it and you know what to look for, that the actual birth of Jesus took place sometime in the spring, took place sometime probably in April. And so if we go back in time and look at what the Catholic Church did when it was the Christian church, it was the only church there was for Christianity. They took so-called pagan celebrations, and as they were looking to convert people to Christianity, and as they were looking to spread the word of what they believed, they took the celebration of certain things and they connected them very specifically with things that kind of corresponded in those earlier traditions, in those earlier religions, because it made it easier for someone to convert if they didn't have to change everything that was going on. So if they were already doing a celebration at this time in the Northern Hemisphere that was about the return of the light and moving back in that direction, which, again, any solstice celebration in the Northern Hemisphere in December, that's what it's going to be about. And these other traditions that were specifically on the 25th, that's what they were. They were celebrations of that return of the light. So it made sense to put the celebration of Christmas here because it was speaking a similar language. And it was easier to make that shift into, okay, I can accept, I can make sense of what the Christian beliefs are because they resonate, they connect with, in a very literal way, in many cases, with what I was already believing. And so that context is a good thing because that's what we're celebrating here. Even if someone is very, very specifically Christian and very focused in that belief system, that's the celebration. It's the celebration of the return of the light. And so that's just a framework I'd like to drop in here a little bit. And then I'd like to talk about, you know, the phrasing happy holidays. And it's interesting that now holiday, the word, is taken as time off. You know, a holiday is a vacation. It's getting away from it all. But if you look at the root of that word, the root is holy day. These are holy days. And so what does that mean? Well, to me, it means those are the days when we have, I don't know that I'd call it a responsibility, but we have an opportunity to connect more deeply with the spiritual dimensions. When we have the opportunity to connect more deeply with that divine that's with us all the time. But it's kind of like, well, it's kind of like what we do at the beginning of the show. It's about focusing our consciousness there. It's about making a choice to connect there. It's about making a choice that let's spend some time in spiritual focus, in seeking that connection to the greater, in seeking that connection to where true meaning comes from, where true power comes from, where the truth is. And so I think that's a thing that has gotten lost. And so there are, I know, those denominations of Christianity that are almost antagonistic to how Christmas is celebrated, with the presents and all the hoopla and the lights and all of that sort of thing, because they're talking about how the true meaning of it gets lost. Well, the true meaning of it, even underneath the message of Christianity, the true meaning of it is this is a time to celebrate moving back toward the light. And so this is an extremely powerful time of year for us to go within and seek to expand our connection to the light, our connection to the divine, our connection to what is at the core of all of us. And so, again, regardless of how you may celebrate Christmas or not, if you don't, this is still a perfect time to go within and connect in that way and to celebrate the expansion of the light that is available and to connect with that flow of energy. It's also not an accident that in a week we have the New Year celebration. Again, same kind of thing. It's celebrating new beginnings. Even though, for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, depending upon where we live, you know, we still have most of winter left. The solstice is just signal the beginning of it. We have most of winter, and yet, from this point on, the expansion of the light is going to be continuous. It's going to be a daily expansion. And so that energy is very, very supported of coming more into our power and stepping up to share more of ourselves with the world. And that, to me, is the deepest underlying meaning of these celebrations that get linked in here together. Again, we can go to the Jewish tradition and Hanukkah. And again, I know much less about the Jewish traditions than I do even about the Christian ones, but it's not an accident that Hanukkah is in this same time frame as well. I believe typically it's more prior to the solstice than it is at the solstice. I do know they use a lunar calendar, so it moves around. It's not set in stone. It's going to be December 25th every year. But again, Hanukkah is the celebration of what they talk about as a miracle, where this oil that should have run out was able to burn for these days, these number of days far beyond. And so again, it's a story. It's an energetic. It's an expression of the continuity of the light. So if you will, again, since it occurs, I believe, most frequently the days of Hanukkah, which obviously it's more than one day, but the days of Hanukkah are typically before the solstice, I believe, most of the time. But what is that? It's a celebration of the light that is ongoing. it's a celebration of the light that is going to last beyond what we would have the expectation that it should. And so again, as it's heading into the darkest night, the solstice the day before, etc., as it's heading into the time when there is the most darkness, here we have an expression of this continuity of light, this miracle of the light continuing. And so again, this same kind of message of the light is there, and then the light is expanding. And so I believe that that's multiple focuses, multiple traditions that are speaking to us symbolically about keeping going when things are their darkest, so to speak. When we're having that dark night of the soul, keep going. Don't give up. Don't quit. When it is difficult. And by all means, this path of spirituality is not always an easy path, because we are being called upon, if we're walking this, if we've chosen this, we are being called upon by our soul, moment by moment, to express more of our divinity. Now, the only way we can do that is to clear out the experiences, the pain, the limitations that we've been living up to that particular moment. And in many cases, the way that they move out is that they come up. We get triggered. We have some issue show up. We have someone or some situation in our life which is not the way we would desire it to be. And we are given the opportunity in that moment, in every one of those moments, to choose differently than we've chosen in the past. To acknowledge that, yes, this is not fun. This hurts. And yet, I can choose a different response than my reaction last time. Even if our response last time was fairly conscious, this path of exposing our mastery, this path of discovering our mastery, this path of claiming our mastery is the path of taking those moments as the opportunities they are, even in the midst of whatever negative might be there. And I think that's one of the reasons, yes, there are physiological things going on with seasonal affective disorder, where some people literally just get depressed because there's not enough hours of daylight. And so there are physiological responses, but I believe there's also an energetic thing going on here. Why a lot of people tend to have trouble during this holiday season. And some of that is about expectations, because in our cultural myth, this is supposed to be the time of celebration, and everybody's supposed to be walking around tra-la-la, and the problems go away. It's Christmas, after all. And yet, there's a lot of Scrooges out there, bah-humbugging it, and there's a lot of others beyond, they may not be actively negative toward the celebrations of this season, but who have a hard time dealing with their life not being where they would like it to be. And this season that celebrates the light is shining a light on our lives. And if we don't have the tools, or to whatever degree we don't have the tools, or to whatever degree we feel unable to use the tools that we have, it can be a time when we get stuck in those ruts of the pain of the past, in that energy of comparison, in that energy of, well, it should be this way, but it's not. And so it's interesting even that some of our cultural icons about this time of year are like that. For instance, it's A Wonderful Life. It's very much someone going through a dark night of the soul. And coming out the other side, coming out to find the light. And in that light, a lot of that is about connection. A lot of that light is about interaction with others. And again, so it's not an accident that we tend to come together in family units and with friends to celebrate these sorts of things, because it is about those connections helping us to amplify our own divinity, to express that more fully. This is known as a season of great generosity. This is where the Secret Santa used to go around in Kansas City and hand out $1,000 to people randomly, etc. And all kinds of stories of that. This, again, with Thanksgiving, is the time when perhaps the most charitable giving takes place during the year. I can't say that for certain. I don't have some study in front of me, but that would be my guess, that this is the time when people are most willing to give to those they perceive to be needy, who do not have what the rest of us take for granted most of the time. And so I want to talk a little bit about that energy, the energy of giving and the energy of receiving, because I believe we've got some fairly screwed up cultural expectations when it comes to that. And the first one is encompassed with the statement, 'tis better to give than to receive, which is a cliche that gets quoted all of the time. And yet, if we actually take a moment to look at it, it doesn't stand up. It simply doesn't. For instance, let's look at it this way. As far as I'm concerned, every one of us is equal. At the core, we're all divine beings. And what we may have done out in the world, what we may have accomplished, our successes, those sorts of measurements are all irrelevant when it comes to our true value, the true meaning of who and what we are. And yet, 'tis better to give than to receive. Well, just first of all, breathe into that and feel it. To me, it doesn't feel good. I mean, our logical mind may say, yeah, there's something to that. But it, for me personally, it does not feel good, that statement. 'Tis better to give than to receive. Well, if you look at that, if that were true, then every time we receive something, we may be receiving that thing, whether it's money or a gift or food or whatever it is that someone else is giving to us. We are the lesser person because we're on that end of the experience. And somehow the person who's giving is more important than we are. Well, let's look at that for a second. If I'm not there to receive, or you're not there to receive, then the other person can't give. The equation doesn't happen. There is no movement of energy. And that's an interesting thing. If both parts are required for it to happen, you have to have a giver and a receiver, then how can one of them be more important than the other? For me personally, they can't. And so that cliche to me doesn't stand up just at that level, at the first level of looking at it. But let's keep going. There are a lot of people who volunteer a lot, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Certainly would not knock that. But it kind of gets my goat a little bit, if I can use that expression. When they say, oh, I just give for, I'm not getting anything out of it. I just give for the joy of giving. Well, within that statement is the actual truth. They are giving so that they can receive joy. And that to me is a clue to what's actually going on. Anytime there is a giving, again, whatever level it is, time, energy, money, gifts, that the one who is giving is actually feeling good about giving, good about themselves as they are giving. And so in the process of the giving, there is the opportunity to step into more of a connection with ourselves as divine beings, offering something to someone else. And so that's an opportunity here on the giving side of that equation that I think is a really powerful opportunity when we can step into that context. And let's flip it around. Let's look at it from the other side, the receiver. And again, we look at this and we go, well, it's different when we are exchanging gifts, so to speak, than it might be if someone is just giving us something and we're not giving anything back. Well, again, first thing in terms of what we've already discussed, if I'm the receiver, what am I giving at the first level? By allowing myself to receive that thing, I am giving the other person the opportunity to feel that joy of giving. That's part of what I'm giving there. I'm not just receiving, I'm actually giving an opportunity to the one who is giving that thing or the time to me. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, one of the laws in example, one of the energetic laws, that's a perfect example of it. And for me, again, I don't know how some other metaphysician might define this, but for me, that's called the law of balance. I believe that every situation there's balance in. And so someone else may be giving something physically to me, but there's always an equal exchange taking place. But if we're living in that 'tis better to give than to receive paradigm, that's not how we're looking at it. That's not how we're looking at it. That's not how we're experiencing it. We're experiencing it through that filter that the giving is more important than the receiving, and is not, because the giving cannot exist without the receiving. And, well, let's take a look at this giving equation from another perspective. On another show, I don't know if I've done it yet or not, but on another show sometime, there needs to be a discussion of unconditional love and what that means. But I'm going to relate to it here. And what I'm going to relate to it is this. In the same way that we cannot love another unconditionally until we love ourselves unconditionally, we are not truly giving to the degree that we have any sense of obligation in that giving. In other words, if we feel like we have to give to another person, perhaps because it is an exchange. Well, we always exchange presents at this time. Well, if we're doing our giving out of any sense of obligation there, then that takes away from how much it's a gift, because we're not doing it freely. We're not doing it completely from the choice, from the desire in the moment that here's something I would like to give to you. Again, time, money, present, it's irrelevant what the thing that's given is. But if there's any sense of obligation in that gift, it's not actually freely given. And another part of that is the gift given with an expectation of what the receiver is supposed to do? Is the gift given with the expectation of what the thanks should look like? Or that the thanks should be there at all? How many of us give at times because we want that acknowledgement of our gift? Or at least that plays a portion of the giving, the portion of the action of giving. But again, having that expectation in there of any thanks, let alone when it's got to be a certain way, whether that's a handwritten note or whether that it has to be this over-the-top expression of gratitude, any attachment to that response that we're supposed to get back as we're giving, again, takes away from the degree to which it's actually a gift. And then it's an obligation. Here, I'm handing you this, but you owe me now. And that, again, colors the exchange. But in many ways, to me, those kinds of attachments to the response that we're going to get back as we give, they have nothing to do with the other person. They have to do with some level of our giving being based upon needing to prove something to ourselves. I'm successful enough, therefore I can give this to you. I can prove how wealthy I am, how successful I am, how smart I am, etc. And it's not, I'm giving this to you because I feel like it, because I choose to do it. I'm giving it because I need something from you. Which is interesting. And again, another opportunity to look at ourselves. As we are bustling about, many people at this time of year really bustle to get all their Christmas shopping done. And it becomes a very stressful thing. The joy of giving goes out of it at times because it's not about giving from that place of I love you or I like you and I feel called to share this with you. It's also coming from some place of I've got something to prove here or I'm supposed to do this. I have to give this to you. And those are limitations. And so I just bring that up because this is the season of giving, so to speak, for many people. And yet, even that, this is the season of giving. What does that say about it? Well, that feels to me like obligation. And I would just offer this thought as well about this. Think about the things that you've received when you had an expectation that you were going to receive them. Whether it's at Christmas or some other holiday, whether it's at your birthday, and you got them. And then think about those things that you received that were out of the blue, that were for no reason, that were because it was Friday. Or because your friend saw it and thought of you. And just feel into the difference from the receiver end of things. This is regardless of the thing given. But just feel the difference between how it feels to receive something that has some of that energy of obligation, that has some of that energy of should, where you're supposed to receive the gift, versus the thing that you receive that was an expression of someone caring about you at its purest sense. They thought of you when they saw this thing, or they stepped up because they thought they could help in some way or another. And to me, those feel significantly different. And certainly, I'm not suggesting that every time I give something to someone, it doesn't have any sense of obligation in it, or it doesn't have any should in it, or it doesn't have any of that expectation of how they're supposed to respond when they receive it. But it is something that I do seek to be aware of and seek to shift as I'm looking to give something. And again, this may seem like overkill. It may seem silly to some people. But when I am preparing something that I'm giving, if I'm wrapping it or if I'm packing it for mailing, I actually, the last thing I do before I take it to the post office or before I give it to the person, the last thing I do, or one of the last things anyway, is I do a conscious prayer over it, or an invocation, whatever you want to call it. You can even call it a healing. And I specifically ask that any negative energy that might be present, and in this context, specifically because of a sense of obligation that I'm under, or any energy of attachment I might have to their reaction or response, that be cleansed out of this. If it's a physical object, but even if it's an exchange of time or just a gift of time, by stepping into that degree of consciousness, by stepping into that degree of conscious intention, I seek to diffuse those patterns, to de-energize them, not just for this moment, but surrounding the giving in general. And interestingly enough, it's also a wonderful thing to do when you're on the receiving end of things, when you're the receiver, to consciously choose to take it in at the deepest level. Well, part of that can be helped as we would consciously seek to erase any of the energy that we may have put forth that suggested the other person should give this to us. Now, it doesn't mean that we were doing that consciously. It doesn't mean that, as in the stereotypical, not quite fully functional marriage where one of the other people reminds the other spouse that this is the day. Have you gotten my gift yet? Blah, blah, blah. But just asking that any energy that I had of expectation that I was supposed to get a gift, any should that's in my energy field, that be cleared. So I can get that out of the way to let myself receive that gift more fully. And also, any should that I'm feeling when I receive that gift in terms of how I'm supposed to respond, to clear that as well. Now, that may come from the person who is giving it to me having an expectation of what kind of thanks they want to receive from me, but it may also just be my own pattern of guilt, my own pattern of unworthiness. Well, I don't really deserve to receive things, and therefore I really have to express my thanks in this way. Again, it doesn't matter what level it's from, but if we, as we're receiving something, consciously choose to clear that sense of obligation about our thanks, what does that do? It actually, number one, allows us to receive it more fully. And in doing that, it allows a deeper, more genuine gratitude to come to the surface and to express. And it deepens the interaction all the way around, because we're being more real in this interaction. Whether we're just receiving, whether it's an exchange of gifts, or whether we're giving, bringing this higher level of consciousness into it can be incredibly empowering and freeing, because it's freeing us from those shoulds, it's freeing us from those attachments, it's freeing us to be at the deepest level of interaction with this gift, whether we're giving it or receiving it. And to do it, the giving or the receiving, from the deepest level of free will, which is the deepest level of our power. And to me, that's a process. It's what we're doing. We're in the process of exposing. We don't do it once and then we're done. We don't step to this level of opening and then we're done opening. We open a little more today, a little more the next day. And it's like that light building a little more from the solstice onward. Each day it opens a little more. That, to me, is the perfect metaphor for walking this path of empowerment. I'm not looking for instant enlightenment. You know, if it occurred, great. But I'm not looking for that. One of the things in the channeling that they love to say to people, to shock people to a degree, is that if you were to experience, or I were to experience, the fullness of my divine essence in this moment, my physical body would explode. It would spontaneously combust because we can't handle it. It's like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. We can't handle our light all at once. We need to build up to it. We need to build up to it. That's why it's a path, not a leap. Yes, we take leaps of faith all the time on the path, but it's not one leap of faith and then we're there. And suddenly we are completely manifest in our divinity. Every step allows us to take the next step and the next step and the next step. And the more we are willing to free ourselves from the should of how to walk this path, which comes up a lot, I see it in myself. I see it in the clients that I work with. I see it in the clients that I channel for. We are presented with a truth, spiritual truth, and we understand it. We comprehend it mentally. And then we go out into the world and we don't live it. We don't quite get there. And then we judge ourselves because, well, I know it. I understand it. Why can't I do this? And we go into that self-judgment. Well, I'd like to bring another cliche up here. I love to look at cliches, as you've probably noticed. And it's a cliche of walking our talk. Well, I would love to have that cliche change slightly, that phrase change slightly, to walking into our talk, to walking into our truth. Because we are in a culture where the mental is king, so to speak, where the mental understanding, the learning, often comes first. And then we seek to take the steps to live up to that knowing that we have. But to me, until we get there into our full power, our knowing mentally is most likely to stay ahead of how we are living. And so for me, this is the time, it's the season, and it is the perfect analogy of walking into our talk, walking into our truth. That's the process we're in, this process of exposing. We get exposed to a new truth, or we hear it in a new way. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard something, I've heard a truth, and I hear it again, and maybe it's expressed in the exact same words 6 months later, or a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later. The time frame is irrelevant. I hear it again, and there is a whole new level of depth and power in it, because of the experiences I've had in the meantime. They give a greater depth to it. They give a greater shading to the meaning of it. And that's this thing, walking into our light, walking into our truth, walking into our talk. Now, the piece of that cliche I would like to touch in upon slightly more, slightly differently, is that of the people who would step out there, and I'm sure I'm guilty of this at times, who would step out there and the talk they are talking is as if they are already living it. And of course, that's not what I'm talking about. When we're doing that, we are not in our power, and we are in some way in our ego trying to prove our value to somebody else, talking about how wonderful we are. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is walking into our talk, meaning walking into our understanding, stepping into living from that understanding. And as far as I'm concerned, that understanding has infinite potential for growth. As long as we are choosing to walk the path, we are choosing to walk into deeper understanding and then deeper experience. So, at this point, I will take a step sideways and allow whatever channeled message there is to come through. And I'll be back in a few moments, as I would ask you to do what I ask you to do every week at this time, which is just allow your breathing to deepen a little bit as I do the toning that allows them to adjust frequencies so the channeling can occur. So, no. No. Hello, dear ones, and welcome. This is the one that most of you would know most directly with the name Jesus. Welcome. Happy birthday to all of us. Happy birthday to all of us. Every day is a day of birth when we are choosing to move into our power. Because birth is not just about your first appearance here. When you come out new in the flesh, into the physical dimension, into freedom from the cocoon that is your mother's womb. No. It is not just that day that is your birthday and the celebration of that a year later and a year later and a year later. Birthday is every day. If you are walking the path. Because every day you have new experiences that allow you to experience yourself differently, that allow you to experience the world differently, that allow you to express yourself differently. And the difference may be minute, it may be minuscule, it may be not discernible to the naked eye. You may need a spiritual microscope to see it. And yet it is there. And even if on the surface everything looks the same, it is still new. Even if you're doing it for the 1,000th day in a row, it is still new today as you do it. And so I would say to you, it is time to start celebrating your birthday every day. Which does not mean you have to eat cake every day, but certainly can be a choice. If cake is something that feeds your soul and your palate at the same time. And so, How does one do that? How do you step into celebrating your birthday every day? Well, first you have to choose to. You have to choose to. And one way to choose to, and this will probably seem silly to many of you, and that is good. Silly is good because so many of you take this path far too seriously too much of the time. Which is, again, part of the path, but it's not fun that way. It's not fun that way at all. So, one way that you can start this, put a little note somewhere in your life. Now, for many of you, a good place to put this would be on the bathroom mirror. Put a little note there that says, "Happy birthday to me." Put it somewhere where you will see it every day, and preferably earlier in your day. Now, you can put multiple notes up all around your life if you like. But just that little reminder that today is my birthday. Today is the day that I give birth to a whole new expression of myself. It may be only one molecule different than yesterday. Of course, that's physically impossible. It is many molecules different than yesterday. But it may be the tiniest thing that on the surface we will not even perceive. And yet this day is entirely new. If I eat the same thing for lunch every day, this day is the first time I'm eating this version of that. And I am a new version today than I was when I ate that same thing yesterday. And so on with every possible experience, every possible habit. And so again, this is another way. Celebrating your birthday in every day, celebrating your birth moment in every moment is even more true. The opportunity is there moment by moment. But that would be a very long song to sing happy birthday to yourself every moment. And so put that sign up somewhere, happy birthday to me, and breathe into it, and just connect, reconnect with the consciousness of what that means, that this is a day of opportunities, this is a day of choices. I am not limited by who I have been before. I am not limited by what I have done before. I am not limited by the experiences that happened to me before. I am not limited by the choices I have made before. Today is a day of new choices. And so, whatever else you might celebrate today, celebrate this as your birthday. As your birthday. And do it again tomorrow and the next day. And so on. If you like, it's your choice. The everyday birthday police will not be calling on you. And when you talk to your friends, you might wish them a happy birthday today. And offer this truth to them. That would be a wonderful change to create upon the planet. That every time you see someone, every time you speak with them, instead of starting with hello or even how are you, you start with happy birthday. That might seem silly too. And yet, there is a degree of power in what some would term the shock of recognition. It is what some spiritual traditions seek to accomplish. The Zen koan is this way. It is simple on the surface. And then when you are at the right level of consciousness, all at once, there is a flash of insight and you are at a new level of consciousness. And that experience of that saying, of that statement, of that story has been given as the lift, as the stairway to take you to the next level. And so it could be with this. Saying happy birthday to everyone every time you talk to them. because it might just shock some of them into a higher experience of the power to choose day by day, moment by moment, of the power that they have as divine beings to choose day by day and moment by moment. And so we offer that to you, our birthday greetings to you. Enjoy your birthday today. Enjoy this day as a day that you get to give your light and you get to receive the light of others. Enjoy this day. And breathe in the love that you have for yourself. Breathe that up, expand that. And breathe in the love that we carry for you. And allow yourself to receive that. It is true. It is true. We do love you. And we would love to see you fully in love with yourself. Not that false ego crap, but truly and deeply accepting yourself unconditionally. Which it is very interesting that any conditions you put on self-acceptance are the same conditions you put on self-expression. And so if you would free yourself to express more fully, you must free yourself from your self-judgments. And so, there are many ways to do that, many tools to do that. Every tool of taking a step into consciousness is doing that. It is you choosing to acknowledge that you are divine and you therefore have choice and you therefore can change your expression in the world. And you therefore can learn to love yourself and the world more fully. And that is where the world is going, into a deeper experience of self-love, a deeper expression of self-love. And so, climb aboard, ride the bus. Ride the bus. Or ride the wave. But in any case, wave goodbye to a little bit of your limitation today, to a little bit of your self-judgment, to a little bit of your restriction, and give the truth to the statement, happy birthday to me, because I am newly created. I am choosing anew to be more of my own self. Okay, and so one last thing we would do. We would give you an energetic sunburst, if you will, if you choose. Consciously open yourself, specifically in your heart center, and allow yourself to receive the light of our love that we are pouring forth to you right now as a wave, as a stream. And just breathe it in and let it flow through your heart into the rest of you, into all of you, into every cell, into every layer, into every aspect, both that which you can touch and that which you experience but is not physical. Receive our love and choose in that receiving to expand your self-love. Hey-ho, 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 hey-ho. Much love to you, dear ones, each and every one of you, in each and every moment, in each and every rebirthing. Namaste, dear ones. All right. Thank you for that, Yeshua. And you can start those chimes anytime now, Doug. I appreciate all of you listening and co-creating this with me. I wish you the best of all that today has to offer, of all that every day has to offer. I give you thanks for this co-creation and ask for you to give me your feedback, give me your questions, give me your answers, give me your thoughts on how to co-create this differently and further into the future. And I hope you come back next week. We'll be back again here for New Year's Day, starting off the new year and exposing the Master's kind of way. So, same time, same place. Hope that you'll go out there to join me in the energy within. Much love. Namaste.